around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. We'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. Today is Monday, May the 4th, 2020. We welcome each of you today, and we pray that God's grace has already touched your heart today, that He's moved and ministered in your heart and in your life. Amen. Needless to say, we are living in some very, very uncertain times. But I thank God today, God is certain. Malachi 3:6 says, I'm the Lord, and I change not. Isn't it great to know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? And no matter how greatly Satan may work against the child of God, the believer, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Now, I know for the last several programs, we've had a couple audio niches, whatever you want to call them. Glitch would be the correct word, not niche. And we hope we've gotten those glitches straightened out. And I hope you're able to listen to the program and not focus on the glitch, but rather focus on the message. We've been teaching a series here in the time of the end about enduring until the end. And that's where the success lies. Matthew 24:13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. The child of God is going to have to endure. We're going to have to endure many things. The Apostle Paul in Acts 14:22 said that we must, through much tribulation, enter in to the kingdom of God. Sometimes it's going to be tough. Sometimes it's going to be painful. Sometimes you may feel isolated, ostracized, abandoned, and even forsaken. But I want you to remember, Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. But I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world or the end of the age. Christ is not going to abandon his church because the church is his body. Amen. Before we get back into the teaching today, I want to play a beautiful song by Dudley Smith entitled Born Again. And if you're going to inherit the kingdom of God, if you're going to hear Christ say, well done, you're going to have to be born again. Now, I know people say, well, just shake the preacher's hand and whatever, and you'll be good to go. No, you must be born again. Over the weekend, I was reading in Revelation. I was going back through the book of Revelation, because every time you read the book of Revelation, you're going to find some powerful nuggets. And I was reading again over the weekend, Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Now that simply tells us there's only one element that redeems us, and that is the blood of the Lamb. It's going to take the blood of the Lamb for us to be redeemed. Nothing else can redeem us. If it could, Christ would have said that. But he said, hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Oh, the old song that Andre Crouch wrote, the blood will never lose its power. Listen to Dudley Smith as he sings this beautiful song, born again.
Let me tell you about the Comforter that the Bible said would lead you on. Jesus said that you'll have power when the Spirit comes down from the throne. Now I'm filled with that
Yes, my friend, we must. You must be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's a powerful, powerful statement. But of course, Christ, the incarnate Word of God, knew exactly what he said because he was saying who he is. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word. So therefore he told Nicodemus, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again if you want to see the kingdom of God. As we said, we've been teaching on this new series, Enduring Until the End. The Holy Spirit postponed my teaching on preparing for the darkness. I would be remiss, I would be derelict, if I told you there's not coming darkness upon the earth, because the Bible has clearly stated that. The Bible has clearly declared that and decreed that. But I'm telling you today, as a man of God, we are not where people are saying we are. Someone sent me a cynical email of someone who said that Enoch may have predicted the Great Tribulation through the coronavirus. That's as silly and cynical as it gets. What's happened to people? The coronavirus has nothing to do with the Great Tribulation. Now, I'll be live with Doug Hagman 2 hours Wednesday. Doug's a busy man. I am a busy man. And so I've been doing programming here in my studio, sending them to Eric, and hopefully he gets them posted on Wednesday nights after the Hagman report. Sometimes I'm not always able to do that other program. I have a lot on my plate as well. But with everything that's being said, I felt as a pastor I need to come and bring some clarity. Listen, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, is a Christian. Jesus prophetically warned us in Matthew 24, verse 5, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. They will use the power of Christ's name, yet they will intentionally deceive you. That's deception. The coronavirus has nothing to do with the Great Tribulation. How silly can a person be anymore? You better beware of the false prophets, because they seek to profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, they seek to profit from the sheep, the flock of God. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Christians are some of the most loving and giving people in the world, and that's why they're taking advantage of them. That's what they're doing. They're taking advantage of them. We left off last Tuesday, and I want to pick back up in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. In you that believe. It's in Christ. It's in Christ that we get our understanding concerning the things of God. So I want to elaborate today on the fact of how grateful, how thankful the Apostle Paul was concerning God and His Word. There was never a time that Paul was not thankful. How do we know? For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Without ceasing. We don't cease in thanking God. As a matter of fact, in this same letter, this same epistle to the church at Thessalonica, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, some of the things that we go through in life are without a doubt arduous and very difficult. We're not thanking God because of the difficulty. We're not thanking God because of the adversity. We're thanking God because we know that God is with us. That God is with us. Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? We need to understand that God is a present help. He's already where you are. He's already there to minister, to pour the oil and the wine into your heart and into your spirit. Let's look at a couple verses today concerning the Apostle Paul. He goes on and he says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you, or the love of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Do you see the fruit of the Spirit? Loving their neighbor as loving themselves? Remember, that was the point of contention. The point of contention that the lawyer was trying to draw Christ into. He said, what is the most and greatest commandment? Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all of thy might. And the second is like unto the first, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, what are the two commandments? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment, loving God. And the second is like unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now that's Matthew 22, beginning at verse 35. Now this question that this lawyer posed to Christ was a question of temptation. Asked him a question, tempting him. Now let me say this today. These news reporters in the media room are there for one reason. That's to bait, and tempt our president. See, they're I gotcha questions. They're deceptive, they're duplicitous, they're misleading, they're dishonest. And let me say this, I'm going to say this today, it may offend some people, but that's all right. We've got so many purported Christians in the media, talk show host, who, whatever, they are in direct alignment with these other fake news organizations. They are walking hand in hand. I said they are walking hand in hand. I mean absolutely hand in hand with the world. Now, I know that may make some of you mad, but that doesn't bother me because it's the truth. I said probably a year to 18 months ago, the Drudge Report has cast his lot with the liberal media. You may not believe me, but it's the truth. Because it's dishonest. It is absolute dishonest reporting. And that's not the spirit of Christ. That's not the spirit of Jesus. That is the spirit of the world. It's the spirit of the age. Think about what I'm saying. The spirit of the age. What age is it? It is an age of deception. The conference last year, the age of deception. Many times we don't realize, just like that conference, the theme, the motif, the age of deception. You are living in the age of deception. You're living in a time when Satan is willfully, blatantly deceiving people. He's trying to deceive you. He's trying to deceive me. And he raises up his purveyors of deception and deceit. They're his minions. We're told he has his minions. And 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Works do not save you. I said works do not save you. Just like water baptism, that's a work. It doesn't save you. When I came back to the Lord in 1978, it was 6 months before our church had a water baptism because our church at that time did not have a baptistry. And so we went to another church on a Sunday night to be water baptized. Nobody could ever tell me I was not saved. I know I was saved. The sorry, worthless, vile, wicked, salacious sinner that I was. And I laid all of that down because I knew it was sin and sinful, and I cast it aside. And I picked up my cross and I denied myself. And had I died before I was water baptized, there's no doubt in my mind. You can't take my salvation away from me for something I have not done that you think I need to do. Got to remember, men, listen to me. I don't know why the Holy Spirit is taking me this way today, but I know he's taking me this way for a reason. Men are going to be responsible for damning souls. Men, mortal men, are going to be responsible for damning people's souls. That's right. That's right. You may disagree with that, but I've got Bible. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. That no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. I want you to notice what Jesus said. Let no man take thy crown. I preached a message years ago entitled Crown Stealers. Crown Stealers. Men who would steal other men's crowns because people don't do what they think you ought to do or being told to do by another person. If you don't do what we say, you're not saved. You know, Think about what I'm saying. Think about people in foreign countries who don't have a denomination to associate with, to affiliate with, yet they confess their sins. They ask Jesus to forgive them of their sins, but they don't do something that a particular denomination teaches or preaches or part of one of their tenets. You actually believe that person is going to burn in hell forever? No. To believe that is an occult mindset. That's the David Koresh, the Jim Jones mentality. I promise you, if we were able today to ask Jim Jones or David Koresh, are you a prophet of God? They would both tell you, oh yes, we are the true prophets of God. Then why did their followers die like they died? I shared with you some weeks ago from Acts chapter 5 how Theudas and Judas of Galilee led rebellions and they all died. Horrendous deaths. Thus Gamaliel says to the council, men, brethren, be careful, be careful. If this work is not of God, like Theudas and Judas of Galilee, it will come to naught. It will come to nothing. But if it's of God, you certainly don't want to find yourself fighting God. Some would not believe this that I'm going to say. They will declare, they will decree, I, Pastor Langford, I am emphatically wrong. But there are a lot of denominations that are fighting God because they're preaching they are the way and not Jesus, the Lord's Christ. 1 Timothy 1 and 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, me, and to the ministry. Notice what he said. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Let me say something about ministers and ministry. The first fruit, the first attribute is you got to be faithful first. You got to be faithful first. And when God recognizes that faithfulness, he says, as Paul is telling Timothy, he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I didn't put myself in ministry. As you know my testimony, I ran and I ran and I ran and I ran as hard as I could to get away from God. Because I didn't want to be a preacher. It's humorous to me to see men who want to be preachers. It's a hard life. I know most don't believe that. But if you're really a God-called preacher, you fight adversity at every turn. And when God has called you, you're going to have fruit that remains. There will be people saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and those people will finish the course and enter into the kingdom of God. Now, there are a lot of preachers out here that are never were God called. They speak well. They speak religiously. They say all the right things. But there's not an anointing. You see, when God truly calls any man to preach, that calling brings with it an anointing of the Holy Ghost. People regretfully sometimes will give me accolades when in reality it's never been me. Never. It's the Holy Spirit in me and that anointing upon me. That's what's working. That's what's taking place. That's who's getting the work done, not me. All I am is a willing vessel. We're all vessels. And as I did as a sinner, I poured liquor. I poured liquor in this vessel. But I laid that aside and let God pour the Holy Spirit in this vessel. You see, a vessel can have vinegar in it tomorrow and grape juice in it the next day. Vessel, 2 Timothy 2:21. If a man, therefore, shall purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. You see, God is looking for clean, holy vessels where he can pour in his Holy Spirit. Regretfully, I was a filthy vessel, an unclean vessel, certainly an unworthy vessel. But see, the blood of the Lamb took away all the sin, the contaminations, the filth, the degradation, the debauchery, the debasedness, the obscenities. He took that away with his blood. Now, something has to fill the void, the vacuity, the emptiness. If you don't, the devil's coming right back in. You got to fill it with something, and that something is not just anything. It is the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in our bodies the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why do we die? That the life of Christ might be made manifest in these earthen vessels. Paul said, I thank God who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. 2 Timothy 1:3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Now, when Paul makes the statement, the phrase, or the reference, whom I serve from my forefathers. Who's he talking about? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, but mainly Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus would make statements. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What was he saying when he said that? I'm in covenant with these men. I'm in covenant with these men. Paul says, I'm in covenant with the God of my forefathers with pure conscience. How many times have you heard me say this? Clean hands and a pure heart. There are a lot of people who are regretfully, supposedly holding an office in ministry. Their hands are not clean and their heart is not pure. No, it's not. Nope. It's simply not where it needs to be. Again, as I was reading the book of Revelation again over the weekend, the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 2, listen to this statement. The church at Ephesus, the Ephesians, Revelation 2 and 6, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Now Christ says to the Ephesians, you're hating the same things I hate. Now that word hate in the Greek is detest. You detest the same things I detest. I detest the merchandising that I witness. I mean, these guys are snake oil salesmen. Holy water. Water from a particular spring. We've got this oil, and we've tainted it red, so it's a blood anointing. Or we're cutting off a piece of cloth, and this is a special cloth, and for a love gift of X amount of dollars, we're going to send it to you. I mean, I've never seen anything like it, and I'm 65 years of age and been in the ministry well over 40 years. And I hear this snake oil salesmanship 24 hours a day. I do. I hear it. I see it just like you see it. And I sit there, and it's all about money, 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 money. And this is why we never ask for money. I'm not going to be in the same cesspool with these hirelings. I'm not going to do it. I wrote a very renowned preacher over the weekend. I wrote him a letter because he was preaching on the Antichrist. And I spoke from my heart humbly to him. And I said, if you will allow me, I'll show you where you are wrong in some of the things you're saying. Now, he may be offended and cast my letter into the trash basket, and that's fine. That's fine. But when you can see where someone is blatantly, openly violating a particular passage of Scripture, you have the liberty to address it. Now, let me say this, and this will make some people mad as well. We all have spiritual power. We all have spiritual power through the Holy Ghost. But as a God-called minister, a God-called minister has spiritual authority. He not only has power, but he also has authority. That's why in Hebrews 13, Paul said, obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch out for your souls. I could call a dozen names right now. You would know every one of them. But I know in my heart, they're not watching out for your soul. Well, how can you say that? They're not watching out for their own soul. By the things they do, by the things they say, by their mere behavior, they're not watching out for their own souls. They're violating 2 Peter chapter 2 when they make merchandise of you. See, I don't know what's happened to Christianity, why people can't seem to discern the moment. They can't seem to discern the hour. And they bring in, Peter said, damnable heresies, which makes them a heretic. And here's the sad thing. 2 Peter 2:2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. The word pernicious again is damnable. Damnable, damnable, wicked ways. And they distort the truth. They play on words. I'll tell you what they remind me of. And when I was a sinner, I saw a few of the soap operas, As the World Turns, and that's about the only name I remember right now. But this is back in the 70s, and I saw it. And they always say something or do something at the close of the program to get you to come back and watch it again tomorrow. And, of course, Tide commercials and Colgate toothpaste and all of these things, the advertisements. But they always left you hanging, so you had to go back the next day to see what that was about. These are called writers, and they write in a manner to keep arresting you and pulling you back to the feed trough. That's what they're doing. Well, that's what a lot of these so-called Christian ministries do. They're trying to get you to come back to the feed trough and pay for what you're getting. I'm serious. It's terribly, terribly tragic. Terribly, terribly tragic. But what are you saying? It shows these people do not thank God. They don't love God. Why? Because they keep shaking down the people of God. They draw men to themselves and not to Jesus. Don't you follow me? You follow Jesus. Yes, Paul said, follow me. He said, as I follow Christ. Listen, I listen to other preachers. Sad to say, 9 out of 10, after about a few minutes, I just turn it off because they start that snake oil stuff. They start begging for money. I don't want to hear that. Begging for money does not edify me. Begging for money does not comfort me. Begging for money does not strengthen me. As a matter of fact, if you send the money, your strength has even abated because they took something from you. If you're getting something from that ministry, support it. That's only common sense. If you're getting fed, reciprocate. If you're not getting fed, I don't know why you would attempt to reciprocate. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, with a pure conscience. What does that mean? My conscience is not defiled in any way, shape, form, or fashion. I live a godly life. I walk in the Spirit. I live in the Spirit. My life is an epistle. I am always testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ, who bought me with the shedding of his own blood. And then Paul said that without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night. Now, I can't call everyone's name. I mean, I'm a human being. But this ministry, there are times I take the mailing list. I call every name. I get on my knees and I go through the mailing list names. And I call every name. Then I pray, Lord, I don't know all the names, but everyone that has petitioned us through email, through a letter, through a phone call, God, I lift those people and their needs up before you. I lift their needs up to you, Lord. You know who they are. You know the infirmity, the weakness, the fragility that these people are bearing. You know, Lord, you know who they are, where they are, because you died for them. You bore their weaknesses that you might fully understand man's humanity. Now, the Apostle Paul, he had a great love for Timothy. It is apparent that, as far as we know, Paul the Apostle had no children. He could have. And the reason I say that, because to have been a member of the Sanhedrin, it's purported that you had to have been married. And that's why Paul wrote, as he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and Romans chapter 7, about marriage. Because he said, I speak this by permission and not by commandment. I won't get into all of that, but that's what he said. So that tells me, if a man is speaking by permission and he's speaking about marriage, he's speaking about not able to contain your flesh, it's better to marry than to burn. He has an idea of what that's like and about. And thus he compounded that by stating, I speak this by permission. I'm allowed to say this, in other words. So I don't believe Paul had any sons. So his son in the faith was Timothy. And he had a great love for Timothy. That's why I shared here in 2 Timothy 1 and 3, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Why? Well, see, Paul knew he would die, just like Peter knew he would die. See, these men knew this. They knew it. Peter did, because the Lord showed him. You know, that's the greatness of that conversation between the Apostle Peter and Jesus in John chapter 21. You know, Jesus was telling the Apostle Peter, the day will come, you're not going to be able to gird yourself, but another shall gird thee. Another shall gird thee. That's John 21, verse 18. Meaning, you're going to be taken to be martyred or executed, and you're not going to want to go. But this is what I have willed for your life. This is my will for your life. You know, we were having conversation in the studio this morning, and we were talking about the pre-tribulation rapture. And people say, well, the Lord would never let his church go through that. So Peter the apostle was not part of that church. Paul the apostle was not part of that church. They were all a part of the church. Because the foundation for the church in Ephesians chapter 2 is the apostles and the prophets. The apostles and the prophets. Read it. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20, 21, and 22. You see some of the statements that men make. It's cynical. It's cynicism. It just doesn't make any sense. Because these men, they died. Tragic death, except for John the Beloved, who wrote John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and the book of Revelation, and it's believed he died at about the age of 100. These men were godly men, but they died as martyrs for Christ. Paul had this great affinity, this great attraction, this great love for Timothy, and so he encouraged the young man. Now we see that the Thessalonians received the word of God when they heard the word of God proclaimed. This is because God's Holy Ghost anointing is upon his word. People talk about my preaching. Boy, it's powerful preaching. It hits you hard. It's not me again, it's the word. I'm not hitting you hard. The word is hitting you hard. And the anointing is upon the word. And the anointing is upon me. So the anointing is multiplied. So when you're preaching a lot of Bible, the anointing and the power is magnified greatly. Now we're here in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, the question must be asked, are you receiving the word of God? Are you receiving the word of God? Paul said, which ye have heard of us. In other words, Paul knew without a doubt, hey, we're preaching God's word. Are you receiving God's word? Then he says, and this is powerful, ye received it not as the word of men. Now, most of the garbage I hear today are the mere words of men. Ye received it not as the word of men. Great orators, great speakers speak greatly in religion, but they're not speaking God's word. Ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. What is the truth? The word of God. What is the truth? Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. You see, no man can get to God. There's only one God. No man can get to God except he come through Jesus. Now, I know number 2, George Bush 2. There are many ways to God. You see, that's heresy. Oprah Winfrey, there are many ways to God. That's heresy. There's only one way to God. How do you know you're right? Oh, by the witness of the Holy Spirit. Is that not what the Apostle Paul declared in Romans? Did Paul not say, we receive the Spirit of adoption? Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit that now lives in our clay jars, our earthen vessels, witnesses to our personal spirit that we are saved. I don't need some man to tell me whether I'm saved or not. I don't need some man to tell me, well, you need to do this and you need to do that. And if you don't do this and you don't do that, you're not saved. I don't need your affirmation. You're crazy. I don't need you to pat me on the back and say, well, bless God, you did it our way. You got saved now. No. That's a witness from man. I don't need that witness. I need the witness of the Holy Spirit. That's the witness I'm looking for. Because he is the Spirit of what? John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. I'm looking for that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to bear witness in my heart, which is truth, that I am born again. I don't need a man's pat on the back. Well, you did it our way, brother. Now you're saved. Let me tell you something. I got saved before I ever went in a church door. I came back to God before I ever entered in a church door. I walked out of a bar and went to my grandmother and my grandpa's house at midnight, and I got down on my knees and I prayed through to God. Don't tell me I wasn't saved. Don't tell me I wasn't restored. I was like the prodigal son. I'd come back to my first love. I'd left it. How dare you say, well, you still weren't saved. Oh, I get so disturbed with religious bigotry. And that's religion. That's the problem with religion. There's man's way, there's God's way. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We got too many people following too many men. You need to follow God's word. Number two, you need to know God's word. When you know God's word, you know when something is not right. You know when it's wrong. If you learn the times table like we did, people my age, I don't know, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, maybe the 4th grade, I don't remember. 8 times 8 is 64. 7 times 5 is 35. 6 times 5 is 30. 5 times 5 is 25. You know all that, just like that, you know it. People may try to come now and say, well, no, that was wrong. Kids don't even know that simplicity of math today. 9 nines is 81. 7 sevens is 49. Weird, odd numbers. But you know because you were taught the right way, the right method, the right means. And then we have everybody and his brother gets a microphone, gets a camera, and they're going to be a movie star on YouTube and this and that platform. And they end up coming to naught because God never called them. And I never tell anybody, oh, brother, you're called of God. If you're called of God, I don't have to tell you. You know. I know. I know when I left my last job for Freightliner Corporation, you'll be back. You'll be back. I could hear those statements in my mind while I was evangelizing. But I never went back because God sustained and God took care of me. And for that, I am profusely humbled. I am profusely humbled by God. He's always sustained, supplied, kept, provided. It doesn't matter what it was. He took care of us. Now, how are we certain, how are we for sure that the Thessalonians received God's word? If you go back to chapter 1 and read verse 5, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost." See, that's a confirmation of what I've been saying today. The word that Paul preached, that gospel message, he said, came not unto you in word only. It's not just the word, folks. You got to have the Holy Ghost with it. That's what makes the difference. And one guy purportedly preaching and another man purportedly preaching is because of the anointing. That's what made Jesus so dynamic, because the Bible says in John 3 and 36 that the Spirit of God was given to Jesus Christ without measure. You couldn't measure the enormity of the Holy Ghost that was on the life and the body and the spirit and the mind of Jesus Christ. You couldn't measure it. This is why we must have an anointing to preach God's word, because the word is anointed. The word has power. The word has power, but that word is magnified in power by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I think I said John 3:36. It's John 3:34. I always try to give you the right location just in case my pea brain has malfunctioned and I gave you the wrong location. I want you to always have the right location so you can go search the scriptures and know the truthfulness. That's what it's all about, and conveying the truth of God's word to every one of you. Thank you for tuning in today. We're going to pick this back up tomorrow, enduring until the end. Let me remind you that I will be with Doug Hagman for the whole 2 hours this coming Wednesday night. You will not want to miss this program, because I'm going to be brutally honest. I'm going to be brutally honest in this program with Doug. And I've asked Doug to have his Bible with him and to read some of the scriptures I'm going to ask Doug to read. Doug's a great, great man, a great man of God, who has lovingly shared his platform with this ministry, and for that I'm profusely humbled. God bless you. Have a great evening. Have a great day, what's left of it. Those of you on the West Coast, you have a little more sunshine left. Use it wisely. I'll see you tomorrow. We're going to pick back up on this series entitled Enduring Until the End. You must endure until the end. God bless you.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina 28020.